ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कालकन्योदित वाचो निशम्य यवनेश्वर चिकीर्षुर्देव गुह्यंस सस्मितं थाम भाषत। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. After hearing the statement of Kala Kanya, daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kala Kanya as follows. Purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 5.142, it is said, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Ara Sabhabritya Yare Yaiche Nachaya Se Taiche Kare Nitya. Actually, the Supreme Controller is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and everyone is his servant. Yavanaraj, the king of the Yavanas, was also a servant of Krishna. Consequently, he wanted to execute the purpose of Krishna through the agency of Kala Kanya. Although Kala Kanya means invalidity or old age, Yavanaraj wanted to serve Krishna by introducing Kala Kanya everywhere. Thus, a sane person by attaining old age will become fearful of death. Foolish people engage in material activities as if they will live forever and enjoy material advancement, but actually there is no material advancement. Under illusion, people think that material opulence will save them, but although there has been much advancement in material science, the problems of human society, birth, death, old age, and disease are still unsolved. Nonetheless, foolish scientists are thinking that they have advanced materially. When Kala Kanya, the invalidity of old age, attacks them, they become fearful of death, nor do they know what is going to happen after death. They are under the wrong impression that after death there is no life, and consequently they act very irresponsibly in this life and enjoy unrestricted sense gratification. For an intelligent person, the appearance of old age is an impetus to spiritual life. People naturally fear impending death. The king of the Yavanas tried to utilize Kala Kanya for this purpose. Kala Kanyo Ditavacho Nishamya Yavaneshwara Chikirshurdeva Guhyangsa Sasmitang Tamabhashita. After hearing the statement of Kala Kanya, daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kala Kanya as follows. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kavativachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatadanam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Prabhupada often repeats the same things over and over again. Do you know why? We're slow. Yes, we're very slow. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hubadrutaha. This age of Kali, we have so many faults, and one of the particular faults is we have trouble understanding even the basics of spiritual life. Right? Actually, not even just in this age, just the conditioned soul in general, but especially in the Kali Yuga. But the conditioned soul in general has a great problem understanding that he's not this body. So this has to be repeated over and 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 over again in all the scriptures. The Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutras, everything, Adhato, Brahma Jigyasa, everything is aiming at just the first step. Just the first step. You're not this body. Aham Brahmasmi. And we have trouble with that, because if we could get over our material attachments and misconceptions and just realize that one thing, that we're not this body, we'll start to advance in spiritual life. We'll really start to advance in spiritual life. When we express devotion, we do our service, our seva, and chant our rounds, follow the regulated principles. This is also important, our devotional activities, and this is how we advance also. It goes hand in hand. But we have to somewhat intellectually and conceptually understand we're not this body. I haven't been here to India in 27 years. 1986 was the last time I came to India for the Lord Chaitanya's Appearance Day Festival that year. And it's remarkable to see all the changes in India, but also observing how the culture here, and there's like this, I mean, it's there in the West too, of course, but here in India, see, the culture, people are forgetting what the purpose of life is. You know, they're trying to advance materially, trying to get so much technology, but in many ways Krishna is not letting it happen here in India. You know, if you walk around, you see it's very dirty in so many places, trash and garbage and disorganization. I'm not criticizing India, so is this being taped all, sent all over the world? And but it's a very unique experience. Somehow Krishna doesn't want India to become like America or any other place in the world, because this is where knowledge began. The Vedic civilization is where knowledge begins. All knowledge begins in the Vedas. There's a few nice books by a godbrother of ours, Srinandanandana, how Vedic culture, giving evidence that Vedic culture existed all over the world at one time. Evidences like that, of things that have been found, archaeological finds and discoveries. So India is the original civilization, and we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the stories and that are here, all of these wonderful histories. These are the histories of the universe. So spiritual knowledge is the real culture of India. And Prabhupada, of course, knowing that, wanted the people in India to follow him and teach Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya ordered whoever is born in India should preach this message all over the world. I mean, I'm finding that in America, practically all the temple presidents are now from India. We have no more Western temple president. Indians have all come to preach. The devotees have all come to preach from India. Or the Indians in America are becoming devotees. The message is spreading. The potency is there. And the Indians are becoming Hare Krishna devotees, ISKCON devotees, all over the world, taking over the management of temples and things. So it is happening. But we have to, this first step again, I'm not this body. So this verse, Kalakanya, and Prabhupada in his usual way has a timeless statement here. For an intelligent person, the appearance of old age is an impetus to spiritual life. So when we were 20 years old, 25 years old, and Prabhupada was translating these books and we were reading them, we would read a statement like that. It's all later. That's for later on. That's for later on. But now we're all Prabhupada disciples, God brothers and God sisters. We're also experiencing old age and death. Many of my God brothers and God sisters have died. In the last, almost every month I hear about somebody passing away. as the saying goes, time and tide wait for no man, where there's nothing as sure as death and taxes. So this is the reality. The reality is spiritual knowledge. I am not this body. I'm going to grow old. I'm going to die. I'm going to get sick and diseased. We all have elderly parents, perhaps, who are suffering some kind of invalidity. But we think, oh, that won't happen to me. You know the story of Yudhisthira, when Yamaraj asking him all of these questions, and one of the questions he answered, what was the actual question? What is the most wonderful thing? And he answered, the most wonderful thing is that all around us we see death. We see our parents dying, our friends dying, people in the past have died. They're continuing to die all around us. More than likely, everyone is going to die around me. But I'm not going to die. And that's why Prabhupada is saying these things over and over and over again to wake us up. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gora chandra bole, kota nidra jao maya, pisha chira kole. This witch of maya, this illusory maya, creates this impression that I'm not going to die. Prabhupada used to give this example of the materialist who is trying to find sense gratification. Just like, and a lot of these examples are common in India because you see it all around you, but the driver of the donkey or the ass will dangle a carrot or some vegetable in front of the nose of the ass, and the ass thinks that I'm going to get this carrot. So he starts walking. And that way the driver of the ass is getting his animal to work, to move, to do some service for him. And every moment the donkey's thinking that at the next step I'm going to have that carrot. And he keeps going and walking, thinking there it is, I'm going to get it. So we have this same kind of tendency ourselves, that in our materialistic life we think that at the next step I'm going to be happy, at the next step I'm going to be able to gratify my desires, I'll get the money that I'm dreaming about, I'll get the position in my job, I'll get that thing that I want that will make me happy. But this is all the illusion of Maya. Maya is just simply beating us, getting us to work for her, to fulfill her purpose. Maya has a purpose. Her service is to keep the Nityabadha conditioned souls, the eternal conditioned souls, in bondage. She has her service, and she does it very well. She's expert. She puts this whole array, you know, we have these big feasts with hundreds of preparations that we offer the deities. So Maya has her smorgasbord, her array of sensual enjoyments and temptations. And it's unlimited, actually. And it just keeps us going. And if we don't get it in this life, it takes us to the next life. Samsara. Samsara davan naladi dhaloka tranaya karunya ganaganatam. So the spiritual master, Prabhupada, comes to wake us up. Wake us up. And this is our great struggle. As even we're on the path, we've come to Krishna consciousness, we know about these things now, we've heard them over and over and over again from Prabhupada's books, and we still struggle with our material attachment. We still struggle with our body and controlling our senses and our mind. So difficult, the path is so difficult. I like to tell this example once. Someone said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you said that Krishna consciousness is so simple. Simple. Because Prabhupada did say like that. It's very simple. What is the difficulty? Like, what is his name? Who wrote the... Yeah, Shruti-kirti wrote his book. What is the difficulty? And so this devotee was saying, Prabhupada, you said that Krishna consciousness is so simple, but actually I'm finding it's quite difficult. Jai Gornitai, Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Jai Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar. But actually Krishna consciousness seems to be very difficult. And Prabhupada's reply was,
Yes, it actually, I have tricked you. So he tricked us, right? How many devotees, how many of us came because of prasadam? It was a nice prasadam. Okay, everybody raise your hand. Don't, can't lie. There's a few stories like that where Prabhupada even said that you all came to me because of prasadam. Which is true. I mean, the tongue guides us in the material world. But that was Prabhupada's plan. He used to call the Glubjaman the ISKCON bullet. The ISKCON bullet. And in the original temple, 22nd Avenue, I think it was, or maybe, yeah, I think it was there, there used to be a bucket outside of his room called the anxiety bucket. And it was full of Glubjamans. So any time a devotee would feel anxiety, he could come to Prabhupada's, to his room outside and take a Glubjaman. And that's how he would cure the materialistic tendency. So we control, the whole system of devotional service is to control the senses, but how do we do that? We engage them in Krishna's service. Yes, we have to control how much we eat, how much we this and that, we have to exercise some discipline. But it means engaging the senses. So we don't stop eating, we don't stop even mating, Prabhupada said. We don't stop any of these things. Defending, there's some, even we can engage defense and anger in Krishna's service. All these things can be engaged in Krishna's service, and then they become spiritualized. But the nature of the devotee, he knows when to do that, just like the tortoise. He's able to, the example in the Bhagavad Gita, he can draw the limbs within the shell and not use them. And when it's time to use them, then he puts them back out. So the secret, sarvopadi vinirmuktam tattvara paratvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhaktir uttama, that we engage our senses in Krishna's service, devotional service. By doing that, we become purified. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. That we can see Krishna with the example there in the verses. The first way is through the tongue, through chanting and tasting prasadam. So Prabhupada knew that. Expert spiritual doctor. He knew how to inject Krishna consciousness. He knew how to engage us, how to keep us busy. He didn't want us to become Babaji's, at least not right away. Maybe later in life. He used to say, work now, samadhi later. These are all things Prabhupada said to keep us going, to keep us engaged. We need to engage our youthful energy in devotional service. And then the realizations will come. Then our chanting will become offenseless. As Harinam Chintamani is such a wonderful book about the offenses against the holy name of the Lord. And the combination of dedicated, focused, intense service to the Guru in combination with chanting the names of the Lord, avoiding offenses, is what will help us to advance. And there's so many different types of service. Of course, even just chanting is also devotional service. But there's a lot of practical things Prabhupada wanted us to do. I was here in 1975 when the grand opening of this temple. So much work went into this. Actually, none of this out in the street here, all these little stores and things like that, none of that was here. Even Prabhupada's Samadhi wasn't built yet in 1975. But now it's all built up, beautiful. The guest house, it was here. The school was not here. Gurukula was not here. Nothing was here. So all that takes work, intelligence, planning. And Prabhupada engaged us like that. Devotees had to collect the funds for all this. Guru Kripa was off in Japan collecting the money to give to Prabhupada with his crew of brahmacharis. And books were being distributed by the millions. You know, nowadays we're kind of a little happy when we distribute a few million books in a year. But we used to do 1 million books or more every month. Every month. Back to Godhead magazines and Srimad Bhagavatams. Hundreds and thousands and millions of these books went out by the efforts of Prabhupada's disciples. And you're all reaping the results. You have these temples, these beautiful places to go. When I came in 1975, there was no temple in Delhi. There was this little house, I think in Connaught Place or something like that. There was no temple, no facilities, little house. So here it is, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's all here for us. Now, so what is our duty now? Just to sit back and enjoy the facilities? No. We have to actually give it to others so they can take advantage. It's never ending. See, one day you'll all be gurus too. And you'll have disciples. And you're going to tell them the same thing. Go out and preach. Go out and spread this knowledge to others. It doesn't end. There's too many people out there that don't know about Krishna consciousness. Everywhere you go, people don't, even like coming to India here, traveling in the trains, people look at me like, who the heck is that? A white foreigner dressed in a dhoti and a shaved head, they don't know. So much opportunity is just there in India. But to speak of other parts of the world. So the preaching will go on, the chanting of the holy names, the Harinam, the Sankirtan party will continue. And that's what Prabhupada wanted. Of course, we have other things too, like Varnashram, developing communities and farms as examples for the world. But we can never stop the preaching of this message. Because we have to just not just wake ourselves up, we have to wake up everybody else, our brothers and sisters, spiritual brothers and sisters, all these fallen souls, the conditioned souls, the jivas in this world who have forgotten Krishna. We have to develop that compassion. It's wonderful here at Krishna Balaram Mandir, so many people are just coming here, you can distribute thousands of books right here, just people coming. But we have to go out also. And though during Prabhupada's time, there were so many traveling vans in India distributing books. I was part of, in the U.S., the Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party. You all heard of that? Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party. We had five or six buses, big Greyhound buses, not these medium-sized Indian buses. Okay. This was a big, long bus, and the whole inside of the bus was transformed. There's a temple room with an altar, beautiful temple room. Then behind it was the kitchen, and then behind that was the bathroom, the shower, and some little cubbies for the brahmacharis to keep their clothing. And we would travel around the United States distributing books and putting on festivals and spreading Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada loved that. He loved that program, Radha Damodar. And that's where Radha Damodar, the deities, are now at the Gita Nagari farm. Beautiful deities. Yes, Bhuvaneshwar was there with us. You're Bhuvaneshwar, yes. Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu was, we were both the cooks. So I was the cook on one of the buses. We would have to cook while the bus was driving sometimes. And I was saying to Panchagoda yesterday, I have a few scars to show for that. But that was the austerity. So the preaching continues. We have to preach this message. I mean, Prabhupada isn't this message. Actually, once Prabhupada said, what is the use of your 30-minute speech? Just give them a book and the book will speak to them. We don't have to take that completely literally, but the idea Prabhupada was emphasizing is the power of the books will do the talking. The books will do the talking. if we get them into the right hands. And if Krishna sees that we're out there trying to get them into the right hands, he'll send the right people who are ready to get the books too. So many stories like that. Leelananda told a few nice stories yesterday. I have a nice story. When I was at the Baltimore Temple in the early, mid-2000s, and one young man came to the temple, and he wanted to join. And so I asked him, well, how did you find out about Krishna consciousness? He was ready to join right away, immediately. He said, well, my mother, she gave me a Krishna book. I asked my mother, I'm interested in Eastern philosophy and yoga and meditation. Do you have any books? And she said, yes, I have a book. This book was given to me by a friend. It's another one of these kind of stories where the book didn't get read by the person who got the book. They gave the book to somebody else, and that person gave it to the other person who joined. Yeah, that Prabhupada called his books time bombs. So he read the Krishna book, he got it from his mother, and he became a devotee. So that's the power of the books. They're going to get into the right hands. There's another story someone told me the other day. Oh, now I can't remember. Just by chance, a devotee got a book, magazine, and read it. Oh, that was a good story. This is a story, a factual story, from airport distributors. I think Vaisheshika told me this story, or Sarvopama. And they used to distribute books at the Chicago airport. And there was, in those days, many, many years, we were very aggressive in the book distribution. Very aggressive. That's how we distributed so many. But we didn't just kind of sit at a table or cower in the corner and wait for somebody to come. We would go up to people. I was a cook, but I didn't distribute so many books. But they would go up to the people walking in the airport, going to their gate to take their plane, and they would stop them and shake their hand and say, how are you? And I have this book. And they would sell the books. And they had all of these lines, you know, there's like sales pitches, you could say, but they're expert. They're so expert that at one point there were some big company that wanted to hire some of these devotees to sell their products. Because they were so expert at selling the books to convince people. All the time they were approached. Okay, yes. Anyway, so this story, there were also people who didn't like us in the airports. And they would literally try to break up the sales of the books. They would interfere. They would come and say, don't buy this book. This is a Hare Krishna, and they just want your money or something like that. And there's this one person used to come up regularly to the devotees and stop the sales. And he was doing that for months and months, maybe even years. And at some point, he was sitting down and he found a piece of paper on the seat where he was sitting. And it was a page out of one of the Bhagavatams that had been distributed. It's unfortunate, but people used to throw away books too. But what can you do? And he read it, and it made so much sense to him. And he realized, this is one of these books that I've been stopping people from buying. And he said, this is the absolute truth. And he went up to the devotees, he apologized, he took books home, and he became a devotee. Haribo! I don't remember I don't know his name, but see how powerful the books are. It's almost like, you know, like a demon who's always thinking about Krishna. Gradually they become purified. So they're always touching the books, always thinking about those Hare Krishnas and their books, and eventually somehow or other they get purified. That's the absolute nature of Krishna. So it's important, it continues to be important that we distribute books. Vaisheshika Prabhu in travels the world now and encouraging book distribution. So I'm working in his zone. And He's doing quite a wonderful job. I think in the North America we increased our book distribution by 20% this year or more. And they want to increase it even further, of course. More and more book distribution to go on. But having said all that, we need to, again, understand these basic things. Jayate, mriyate, va kadachit, nayam bhutva bhavita va nabhuya, ajo nityakshashvato yam purano, nahanyate hanyamane shurire. For the soul there is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He's unborn, eternal, undying, primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. This is the whole chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, the ABCs of spiritual life that we need to cultivate. And this comes along with our sadhana practice. As we chant and purify ourselves, we do realize more and more how I'm not this body, and I'm pure spirit soul. I'm not Western or Indian or American or Chinese or Russian. Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakankshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu madbhakti labhate param. And then we can come to devotional service. We're already in devotional service, but we're kind of on the periphery trying to get in. You know, we're trying to get in. Not always so easy. We need a lot of mercy too. So we continue working on ourselves, introspection. It's a big concept. You know, we have to work on ourselves. There's two tendencies, the centrifugal tendency and the centripetal tendency. The centripetal tendency is to always be absorbed in things outside. And that's what most people are. They have no concept of death approaching them or the suffering of the world. They want to blot it all out. They want to blot it all out and somehow put it on a back burner and just forget about, make the world a wonderful place of sense gratification and gratifications, and through technology and advancement of materialistic civilization. But Prabhupada says here, this is impossible. He says that material advancement is impossible. It's an illusion. There's no such thing. But actually, there is no material advancement. Foolish people engage in material activities as if they will live forever and enjoy material advancement, but actually there is no material advancement. So whatever appears to be advancement, it's not actually advancement. That's illusion. Science, with all of it's really just an illusion. They're just changing their theories. You know, that's a subject matter for Rasaraj or something, but they're constantly changing their theories all the time, constantly. They never have the same theory for more than a few months, a year, 2 years. Even in the realm of, there's some documentaries I saw on the, they think that they now understand what the origin of the universe is. And they came up with this string theory, and then they come up with another theory, and then they find another theory. And then they have this other theory, parallel reality theory. Interdimensional parallel reality theory, and so many things like that. But still, even if they find some kind of realistic answer, they still can't answer the one question, is who made it? Who made it happen? Just some big bang. Just a big bang. Just came out of nowhere. Started from nothing. But we, you know, the common sense, the wonderful morning walk Prabhupada was with his disciples, and he's talking about this bang. And he gives the example, if there's an explosion in the street, the police will come and they'll try to figure out who made the explosion. You don't just say, oh, it just happened by chance. So the universe just happened by chance. It's just a big explosion but where did the chemicals come from that made the explosion? So anyway, there's no real material advancement. The only real material advancement in the sense is Vedic advancement, and that is the advancement that leads to spiritual progress. That's real material advancement. So real material advancement is that civilization which helps us to gain our spiritual emancipation. And that's Krishna consciousness. So within Krishna consciousness is included material advancement. Yagyo shishtashino santo muchyante sarvakil vishai bunjate te pagam papa te yepachantyat makaranat. By performing sacrifices, we get rain, we get food, shelter, everything comes from satisfying Krishna. Yagyartat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandana tad artam karma konteya mukta sangha samachara. That Vishnu has to be satisfied, then everything will be provided by the demigod. We don't have to endeavor so much independently or on our own. Everything will come. So this is not a theory. This is reality. This works. And the more we practice it, the more it works for us materially, spiritually. We don't have to worry. We don't need to have anxieties about what I'm going to eat next, where I'm going to sleep. As the Krishna consciousness movement develops and we can preach and make more devotees, the world will change. The world will change for the better. It's a big task. Spreading Krishna consciousness is not a simple, easy task, but we have to make the attempt and serve our acharyas in that way. It's like Panchagoda has taken so much responsibility for this temple, and he's, you know, well in his advanced age, and he could just be doing his bhajan at home. Yeah, your knees are bad, and so he could easily just be focusing on his bhajan and doing his devotional service. But he's here because he was asked to come here and do this service for Prabhupada. And so he's made that sacrifice and to help this temple and all the other devotees, Janardhan and whoever else is working with the temple here. So please cooperate with him. Give him your full devotion and cooperation. Yeah, he paid me in rasgullas and sandesh. So, just one little thing I wanted to say. When I was here in 1975, and my little claim to fame of service to Prabhupada, a couple of stories where I actually got a chance to serve Prabhupada directly. But this one was here in 1975, and this was the grand opening of this temple. And you all have seen the photograph of Prabhupada standing in front of Krishna Balaram and waving the chamra. So Prabhupada also initiated many devotees that year here, and was sitting in the courtyard. There's videos of this. Lots of videos and photographs. So somehow or other, I was just, and I still am, just a small fry in the devotional legions. But I managed to sneak in and do Prabhupada's Guru Puja that one morning. There were all these sannyasis behind Prabhupada and GBCs all around and senior devotees. And somehow or other, I managed to get in there and do Prabhupada's Guru Puja Arti. So that was a great experience. And it's on video, so I can watch it and remember it and recall it, all these nice remembrances of Prabhupada. So thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any quick questions I can ask? Yes, Prabhu. Why we stop? That's a good question. I don't think I know the complete answer to that. It stopped basically after Prabhupada left the planet, about 1977. All the devotees from Radha Damodar buses went to different temples. I ended up going to St. Louis and then to Houston and then Dallas. and different devotees ended up in different places, and the program stopped. I don't know why it was actually stopped. So let's start it again. Raise your hand if you're ready to join me. Jai, Hari Bol! Somebody should. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
The message and books are love letters of Prabhupada. The mind in our world disturbed when received the love letters of Maharaj. We disturbed when we received the letter of Prabhupada and disturbed to join the ISKCON and join and go to Bhagavad Prabhupada.
Oh, you're disturbed.
When the wife received the letter of her husband, Prabhupada disturbed us to go to Chaitanya Krishna and go to Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. So Prabhupada is encouraging to go back to Godhead.
These are love letters.
They're love letters. So the books are like love letters. Yeah. Okay, very good. Very good. Yeah, Prabhupada's books are like love letters to the conditioned souls, to the jivas, nityabadha jivas, to come. Prabhupada's love is so great. Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? Jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.